We'll try this again. Good morning, House of Manna. How are we doing today? Are we happy to be living? Are we happy to be above ground today? Every day above ground is a good day. The Lord's Day, and we'll rejoice in it. All right. I come to talk to you today about why we come to church. Right? Why? I mean, a lot of us, I used to wonder that when I was little. Oh, why are we going to church? Sunday, man. Let's watch cartoons. You know, I used to tell my mom that. And I remember some days I'd sneak over to my mom's room and hope that she was asleep. And I'd go real quiet like this, you know, real quiet. And then I'd look and she'd be like that. And I'd go, all right, cool. She, we ain't going to church. And I'd sneak away. I'd get about halfway and she'd be like, Lionel, go get dressed. We're going to church. And, oh. And that was real. I mean, I didn't want to go because church hurt. Church, really, it hurt when it was little, right? Why? Because you had the pokes. Stop that. You had the nudges. Mm-hmm. Well, then you had the sneaky one, the reach with that real pinch. Ooh, wow, I'm going to be good. Church used to hurt. It wasn't fun, right? And it was long, and it was boring, and you wanted to sleep. I mean, I'm talking about, oh, not this church. I'm talking about the church I used to go to. That's. Now, this church is fun because we got donuts, you know what I mean? We got music, you know, there's always all kinds of great speakers here that Marty introduces us to, you know. Not, I mean, we get people from Africa, we get people from England, and to me, that's exciting because I'm always interested in other cultures and what they do and how they do, right? But the reason we come to church, folks, is to rejuvenate. Why do we charge our phones? Right? Amen. Why do we charge our phones? Because they're going out. And you can't communicate. You can't do anything. You can't text. Can't talk. Can't get on the net. You have the right phone, right? Most phones today, I mean, that's what you do. You have, here's my phone and here's me. And if I don't have my phone, you know, when it makes that bleep bleep sound, right? You see that mostly girls, they go, oh, my phone's gonna die. Do you have a charger? Yeah. Right? Right? That's the way it is. I know because I see it all the time. But that's why we come to church, because yes. To rejuvenate,
right,
our lives, amen. Our soul, everything. Get electrified with something. Some juice. You know what I'm saying? Some. Because that's what it is. Because I come to church and they're like, oh, to this day, I don't want to go. But I know if I don't go, right around 2 o'clock, when I'm watching football and I'm just like relaxing, it'll come over me like, oh, you didn't go to church today. You could have. You had no good excuse. You know, when you're sick, I mean, that's one thing. When you're sick, you don't want to come to church sick. You know, but when you're just tired, that's really not known. It's not a good excuse. It may be the one you're using. But, you know, God be like, yeah, you know, I could just, you know, bless you with some strength and you go to church. But, you know, you don't want to receive it. You know, you just want to mosey on over with your blanket, you know, from the bed to the couch. Get that remote. Right? I mean, I'm talking real talk here, right? I mean, this is me. That's the way I see it. But now, as I've grown older, I realize when I leave church, I mean, I'm ready to go. You know, I'm ready to deal with those people who aren't like these people in the room. You know what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to be nice. You know, those unholy people that don't have what we have in our lives. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we can, this group can leave and go out there and interact with people, you know, and they can be like, why are you so happy? What did you do? Where did you come from? And why do you have this glow about you? And you don't even know. You don't even know that you have it. Right? Because it's just other people see it, though. So that's why we come to church. And when we come to church and when you plug your phone in, do you just recharge the texting part of your phone? No. I mean, I'm talking everything's ready to go, right? Right? When you got that full battery, you know, okay, I'm ready to go. My keys, my wallet, I'm ready to step out. Right? No, I mean, I'm that's why we come to church. To plug in, to Jesus? Because he's our vine. Right? A lot of times when you look at pretty flowers and stuff, right, you don't really see the vine which fed that flower, which gave it nutrients, right? Which gave it its power and its beauty. So that's why we come to church, okay? To hear the word, to get rejuvenated, you know, to talk amongst each other. Because a lot of times, you know, you come to church with questions about the Bible. You know, why did this happen? How did that happen? And, you know, you sit next to somebody who probably has the same questions as you, but they don't really want to verbalize it because maybe they don't want to look stupid, you know? And that's what I do. I look smart if I say nothing. I'm just saying, I've learned that. The Bible even says that. If you have nothing to say at all, then just be really smart, real wise, a lot of wisdom in that. Yeah. All right. Let's go to the Word a little bit, huh? I want you to picture an ice tray. An ice tray. An empty ice tray that's been in there. No, no, that's a little, my grandma had that one. But I'm talking about the plastic one. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? That you fill with water? That's what it's like when we come to church. Because Jesus is the water of life, right? So when we come to church, we come dry. And he fills us up. And like certain ice trays, you know, some of them are different. He molds us into what he wants us to be. Right? Is that good? All right, I'm in. Yeah, that's not my time. I like preaching up here because it gives me a different perspective. Because see, when you're down here in your mess, and your mess can be right in front of you and be like, oh, Lord, how am I going to get around this mess? Right. But with Jesus, and he lifts you up, and then you can look down on your mess like, you know, that ain't so bad. Right? In fact, from up here, I got a different perspective. I can see my way around that. I can see my way around that. Yeah, good job. Good stuff. Yeah. You got him, dog. There was a shovel around here, wasn't there? You know, when I first came to Jesus, I was a mess. My aunt will tell you. I came to her. Oh, Tia, I lost everything. And you got to know that the women in my family is tough. They ain't no come here, mijo. Oh, poor bit. There's none of that. None of that. You fall down, get up. I'm serious. These ain't jokes. You're laughing, but it's serious. They're women, and there's some softness there, but it's not like they just throw it out there. I mean, for the most part, it's just tough. You know what I'm saying? So when I came to my aunt, she received me with a level of softness that I hadn't seen that I needed. She hugged me, said, it's going to be okay. It's all right. And that lasted about, what, an hour? Maybe. You know, and then it was, all right, let's go. Let's get you trained up. Let's get you trained up in the Lord. He's gonna strengthen you, right? So when I came to the Lord, you know, there's all things I had to learn about the shield of faith, right? You know, and the shoes of shoes of the gospel, right? The belt of truth, you know. And at first it was overwhelming. It was like, oh, this stuff I gotta learn and stuff. And I leave the house and you forgot your shoes of faith. Where you going? I go, oh, man, it's just so much to remember. I don't know if I can do this. Christian life. Christian life is hard. It's not easy, right? But I remember the one thing, because I was so malleable at the time, okay, that when my aunt came to me about tithing, I remember she came into my room. I was getting ready for church, and she goes, okay, mijo, now let me talk to you about tithing. This is what you do. You give 10% of your income, okay? And above that, there's also offering. And I remember thinking at first, well, if I'm giving all 10% of my money, you know, and then offering, and then when I go out there in the world, I'm supposed to give to, where's my cut? What am I supposed to live on, right? But that's thinking in the natural. That's the natural way of counting natural dollars, right? Because at that time, if she'd have said, you know, I was just listening to her. I was just blinded. I couldn't see right. I just knew my aunt said, come over here. All right. No, go over there. All right. Okay. Whatever you say, Thea. I don't know what I'm doing. Because I didn't know what I was doing. I had been broken down. I had been just like this, you know, it was just a mess, you know. Because if you saw Lionel's life at that time, it was just a mess, and you couldn't tell, like, Lionel done lost it. Don't even have anything anymore. And I didn't. But I had Jesus. And I didn't even know I had Jesus at the time. He was right behind me and, you know, helping me. And my aunt had to open my spiritual eyes. And you see, I got little eyes. And she had to take my little eyes and so I could see Jesus all around me. If she'd have said, you take 10% of your money and you just throw it out the window on the way to church, then I'd be doing that to this day. Because she said, but no, she told me 10%. You give beyond. And then when you're out in the world, you give that too. And I've been operating that lately. And it took a while. It wasn't something that I adopted right away. Because it takes a while, you know, because this is your money you work for. You know, and you got to put up some, I mean, I got to put up with some stuff to get my money. I got to deal with some blankety blank blanks. I can't say these words in church, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? That I got to deal with some folks, and it's hard, and I don't just want to just give it away like that, you know? But what I've realized lately, since I've been operating in that, is that when you tithe, I want you to picture a spoon. That's your tithe. And when the Lord pays you back, it comes in a shovel. Isn't that good? Not good. Yeah. TBN taught me that one. Anyway. And you know, it's not about giving to the church. Because I remember, man, when I was little and then started getting older, the one thing we'd realize is that when we go to church, oh, here it comes, and they start asking for money. You know, and I always think, why can't we just go to church and listen to the word and then leave? Why does it have to be about money? Why, you know, and we'd always be like, oh, here it comes. You know, like, we're asking for money. Preacher needs another Cadillac. And I would say that. No, I mean, this is real talk, right? Because sometimes you see the preacher looking all good and you're like, oh, he's preaching another watch, right? That's why he wants us to give to the church. He's going to come up with some, oh, you know, we need this. No, it's not about that. This is a system that God created. He said to the people, you give 10% of your income, and you bring it to the storehouse, right? And a lot of people say, well, you know, that's Old Testament. Yeah, well, you know, it works. I've seen it work. I've seen it work in my life, and that's why I'm up here right now to tell you about it. Right. And you know, I don't testify. I sit on a lot of my testimony. A lot. Marty's always calling me out. He'll be like, I know some of you are sitting in your testimony, and there I am. I could talk. I could stand up, but sometimes I'll be like, no. I don't. Stay quiet today. I'll just mess things up if I sit talk. I'm just going to stay quiet. But I remember there was a situation. I'm known for eating hamburgers in my family. I'm just Burger Boy. You know Wimpy from Popeye? Some of y'all probably don't even know who Popeye is. But there's a character named Wimpy, and he ate burgers, and that's who I was associated with. Not a very manly character, not very somebody you want to look up to. He's just a burger. And the dude can even afford burgers. His saying was, I pay Tuesday for a burger today. So he was broke, too. That's how it was known, the broke burger-eating fool. The thing about meat, though, you can't eat it all the time, right? It even says that in the book of Daniel. My aunt's always talking about the book of Daniel because they got, you know, they eat vegetables. And Lionel, you need to eat vegetables. You can't eat breads and potatoes. And I'm like, what? Those are my favorite food. But it's okay, you know, because, and here's the thing about that. A lot of times you're told, well, you can't eat this and you can't eat that. When Jesus is involved, he can tell you what he can have. Because there was a situation a while back where, you know, I was developing some pain in my foot. And it was similar, and people were saying that I had gout. But I didn't accept it. I don't have gout. You're saying, I see the symptoms. They'd be like, look on the computer, look. All the same symptoms. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I see what that is, but I know the Lord. But the thing is that see, the Lord, see where my Bible is, that that's the Lord. Those are your promises. That's healing, right? But then over here is what you're really going through, like the reality of pain and like, you know, that how can it be healing? But I feel pain in my foot, right? But because you got to get in the middle and make a choice whether, you know, you're going to go to the doctor and, like, tell him, hey, I got this situation. Or you're going to go to Jesus and be like, hey, Jesus, I got this situation with my foot. It hurts. Right? And I remember I had to draw the line. And people were like, Lionel, you need to, because I was missing work. It was uncomfortable. And I was like, what do I do? So I drew the line. And I said, well, here it is. I'm gonna test Jesus out because he can't heal me. I ain't going to church no more. I tell you what, I'm going to just draw the line. Lord, if you're out there, this is it. This is my problem. I can't go to work. I can't do any of this. So there's healing in church. I'm not going to the hospital. I'm going to go to church. And it didn't happen right away. I remember I came in on a Sunday, and I was just going to sit down. I wasn't going to come to the church. I wasn't going to come. I was going to where's Jesus at? If his healing's in church, well, then I can sit in the back row and get my healing, right? That's why we come to church, right? Because I envision Jesus swirling around, right? Just as we talk, I mean, he's just going all through people's problems and issues and healing heads and bam, just swirling, right? That's just how I envision it. So that's what I thought, and I went. And I remember, excuse me, a little tongue tied there. I had my problem, and I came to church, and quickly, my aunt ushered me to the front. To Marty, what's wrong with your foot? Well, let's go talk to Marty. Come here. She's pulling me. Marty, no. Pray for Lionel. Blah, 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 blah. Prayed. And it didn't happen right away. I was hoping for the thunder. Healing, baby. Voila. Well, it didn't happen for me like that. I had to go a couple of more days. I remember I had work on Tuesday, and I remember Monday night was hard, and I cried out on Thursday thinking, do I not deserve healing? What did I do to not get healing? You know, and I started kind of crying thinking, well, did Jesus turn his back on me? Or maybe I turned my back on Jesus. And I realized now that was just, you know, in every situation we have, there's going to be an opportunity for there's just going to be quiet. And it's just Jesus on one side and bad stuff on the other. And you just got to wait. And you just got to be patient. It might not happen right away. The whole thunder thing happened. It didn't happen for me. But that's not saying that it can't happen. That's for other people. My situation called for me to have it just a little bit longer. And I remember taking it Monday. And I remember saying, if I have to go to the hospital, you know, I mean, this is going to be bad. And then sure enough, Tuesday, right before I went to work, the pain started subsiding. It's like supernaturally. I was just like, I can walk. Yeah, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? And I had learned it because I didn't accept what people were telling me that you have. No, I don't have nothing. I have healing in my foot, and I can still eat meat. And there's some days, I do. I go eat brisket sandwich, wash it down with a meatball sandwich. That's mean, because I like meat. But and I still do. Now, if I do a lot of it, then I could, you know, there's a little bit of discomfort. And I'm not saying it's coming back, but there'll be a little bit of discomfort. I'll be, uh-oh, we'll get some vegetables. And so, but you learn a balance, right? That's what it's about. God teaches you, man, you can't eat meat all the time. You can't eat sugars all the time. You can't eat, you know what I'm saying? You got to have a balance of, you know, I have what's called white meat day where I go and get, you know, turkey or chicken. You know, I can got stay away from anything beef for just that day. You know, and then I have my vegetable day, which I don't really like. But I feel good when I have my vegetables and, you know, I don't have any meats and stuff. And that's like my I call it my Daniel day, because the Daniel book of Daniel will tell you about how he ate vegetables instead of eating the king's royal meat, because the king would eat nothing but meat. That's why they call it the king's disease, gout. I don't even, some of y'all may or not know that, but that's what it's referred to. And that's because that's where it stems from. But to this day, I mean, I'm you know, I walk fine. I can still eat meat. And the Lord has shown himself in my life. And from that point on, like, I don't accept it. Here's the thing. When I was younger, I remember my grandmother, I would watch my grandmother, and she would always be watering the lawn, always out in the lawn, right? Just watering with flowers and stuff. And whenever dogs would come in the neighborhood, I remember, you know, they'd come in the neighborhood, and she had three steps. One, she'd spray them with a hose. And it sounded like Spanish, but it was more like, spray with, you know, some dogs would be like, ah, and they'd run off. Other dogs are a little tougher. Cause, see, in my neighborhood, this was it was financially challenged. Neighborhood, not a lot of rich folk. And you like that? And it wasn't like other neighborhoods. You know, other neighborhoods, there's a lost dog. It's like, hey, little buddy, where's your mommy and daddy? Right? I'm just saying, I've seen that happen. I'm like, because I come from my neighborhood where, like, we throw rocks at dogs to this neighborhood where, like, you have a collar and shots. What? Somebody loves you, fella. I'm just saying, because when we fed dogs in the hood, it was more like just, it was right near the garbage. It was basically garbage that they ate. You know what I mean? Stuff that, you know, wasn't fit for anything else but a dog to eat. And I would think, why is the dog eating that? But I'm getting off track. The thing is, the thing is that, you know, she would throw rocks, and then at some point she'd just lose it if the dog tried to, like, stand his ground. And she would drop the hose and she'd pick something up and start, and then just like, and then waving her arms. And she'd be like a monster, like, and then the dog would run off. And I think that's the same approach you need to have when somebody says, you have a certain sickness. You have blankety blank. You have suts and shuts. You know what I mean? Like, no, I don't. Get out of here. This is not mine. Get out of here. You know what I mean, dog? I'm not going to feed you and say, oh, are you my gout? Come here, little fella. Oh, gout, you're so cute. Let's take you and get you shots, and let's take you everywhere. Oh, this is my dog, gout. Oh, isn't he cute? No. Get out of here. I don't have gout. I don't have any dogs. I have healing. That's what you have. And everyone has it, but you got to claim it. If you don't claim it and you don't know that you have it, then I can see where a lot of people may adopt that. And especially when a doctor's in your face. And, hey, look, doctors, they're smart, but I serve the great physician, yeah. Right? I mean, he's the one. He's the one that has healing in his hands. So I go to him. And if he puts a doctor in my presence, well, then I know then that's that. But, you know, you have healing. You don't have what people say you have. But you need to claim it. It doesn't just happen. And a lot of times, sickness will manifest itself in you, okay? And I believe that's just like my gout. It just challenges you. You know, are you going to accept it or are you going to, you know, deny? And I totally just, no, I'm not going to accept it. And I accepted healing. And I just want you to adopt that for yourself. That was my testimony on gout. That wasn't even part of what I wrote down over here. You know what I'm saying? If you're not going to give to the church, give somewhere. Give to somebody, because there's always somebody in need, especially nowadays with the government shutting down and tornadoes happening and holidays, and there's just not enough money, it seems like. There's always somewhere to give. And if you want somebody to listen to Jesus, I guarantee you, if you pay for their lunch, they're a little more inclined to listen to what you have to say. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, like that's a bad thing. Sometimes, I mean, they're just, if you're just going to straight out talk about Jesus, then they're going to be like, eh, you know, I got to go, dude. But if you'd be like, hey, man, I'm hungry, let's go get something to eat. And in the middle of it, you know, you just lightly say, hey, man, I'm blessed. And then, you know, maybe they'll ask, well, you're blessed. And how is that happening? And then you can, like, that opens the door for conversation about the Lord. And conversation about the Lord should be gentle. It shouldn't be so hard. You know, I talked about this with my aunt the other day, how Marty was talking about hammering, like, the word, hammering the word into somebody. And I've been guilty of that, you know. But it's because I don't want to see people sick and poor. And I know that there's riches out there. You just got to pull it down. And it takes faith, you know, to tithe your money. And by the way, tithe, it comes from the Latin word meaning tenth. It's 10%. If you make $500, your tithe should be 50, not 20. That's an offering, just to let you know. I mean, I'm just real talk. I'm just talking real talk. And the reason I say that, because you can hurt yourself if you're just thinking, well, you know, I'm tithing. Well, no, that's not tithing. That's an offering, just to let you know. Because you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to make a mistake, because those little things, you know, and it's like, I'm not saying about the church to give to the church to keep the church open. This church will fall. If God wants it to fall, it's gone, right? It has nothing to do with you know, my tithe cannot keep this church open. It's measly. It's just a little, it's not going to do anything. But it's explosive in heaven, you know, and I don't know anywhere else that you can just give money and get money back. You know, there's just, that doesn't happen. You know what I mean? And, you know, you could try investing in the stock market. Good luck. You know, that's a gamble. I love gambling too, but I just try not to do it so much. Here's something I want to drop in your spirit. As a man thinks, so he shall become. Right? If in the morning you're getting dressed and you see Sylvester Stallone from Rocky on the other side, you view yourself as a warrior, as something good. But, you know, if you're looking and you see, you know, some kind of wimpy kind of, I can't do it. I can't go out there in the world today. I just can't take it. Well, then you need to view yourself, you know. Personally, I like to view myself as Rambo. More of a warrior, you know what I mean? Rocky was more of a fighter. I like to view, you know. But you need to choose something positive, because when you begin to see yourself like that, it will man itself like that. And you won't even know it. It'll happen like that. And then people will see you as that. But because the Lord blessed you with that covering to look like a warrior or a champion. Victory. That's what it's about, right? All right. Okay, I got one more. The hilltop. Be thankful for the little bit you have. You know? It's easy to look at somebody driving by and the car you want and wearing the jewelry, you know, rims spinning and, you know, whatever the case. And think, like, why don't I have that? You know, why do I got to have this truck that's idling at the light? Is it gonna? Am I gonna make it home? I mean. Oh, and you get real spiritual then, like, oh Lord, get me home, Lord, just. Because when you're thankful for the little, the Lord will bless you with much. Let me say that again. When you're thankful for the little bit that you have, He will bless you with much. But you got to be responsible for the little bit that He gives you. Because if you're not, then He can't bless you, because you're not ready. You can't accept it. You're not ready for the responsibility of more. You'll just spend it. If I bless Lionel with more, he's just going to go act a fool and go out drinking and not make it to church because he was too busy drinking with his friends and buying the bad. I'm going to buy everybody drinks. I'm rich. There's a time and a place for that. And it's just, you know, the Lord, let the Lord work in your little bit, because he can. You read in the Bible all the time, you know, the people that came over with a little bit of fish, boom, he blessed it. He can do the same thing with your finances. But you got to believe. I've seen it happen through tithing. I give every chance I get. When I'm out there in the world, you know, the Lord will help you to discern. Everyone say discern. Discern was fun, was something I learned from my aunt. I remember when I first came to Jesus, I remember I was like Stevie Wonder. I was like, oh, I love everybody. I just love everybody. And I just love everybody. Right? Just like. But what the Lord had to do with me was, you know, I heard Bishop Jake say this. The same sun that hardens the clay softens the wax. You're going to want to write that down. The same sun that hardens the clay softens the wax. Meaning that if you're, you know, a person that people take advantage of, or you're just too soft, and so, the Lord can make you hard. Not in a callous type of way, but in a discerning type of way, to know where to give your money. I remember we were coming out of Marshall's, and there was some guy, and he wanted money, and I was about to bless his brother with like $20, $40. And my aunt stopped me, and she said, just give him $5. And I remember thinking, why? And then as we walked away, she told me, look, did you see his shoes? He didn't need your money. He had money. But, you know, he was, you know, trying to run some game. And I couldn't see it. And right then and there, I knew, there's some work I got to do. I got to really get with the Lord so I can have this, you know, because I want to be able to look at people too and say, you know, because you get a lot of people always asking for things, you know, in your presence. And it's good to give, but you want to give to the right place, right? You want to give at the right time. You don't want to just give to the wrong person who's just going to use that for who knows what. And if you're too busy looking at what they're saying, you got to close your eyes and let the Lord speak to you. I work in a bar. This lady came in the other day, and she was all like, look, man, I ain't trying to run no game. I just, you know, I need to go over there, you know, this other side of town and stuff. And in the middle of her talking, I wasn't really listening to her. I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to do? I have money, but it's your money. If you want me to give to her, you better tell me. And I didn't hear nothing at first. And at some point she said, you know, as God is my witness. And then he goes, oh, there it is. Go get your wallet. Go give her a little bit of money. But because I was sensitive about it. And that's the way you got to be. You got to be sensitive. Calm and sensitive. You ever heard the term, put your ear to the railroad track? Yeah. Right? There's just a railroad track, and you put your ear to it, and you can see if a train is coming, right? Because, you know, you got to be sensitive. The Indians, when they would hunt, some of the Indians, they had certain Indians that would go out there, and they could put their ear to the ground, and they could hear the stomping of, you know, the Indians. But you got to be sensitive. You got to be the right person. You got to be. You can't be all clunky foot. I go looking for deer. No, you know what I mean. You had to take. You had to take those dudes that could walk, you know what I mean? And they had those cool Indian names like Shwinwakin, you know what I mean? Like Shwinwakin. That was his name. Hey, Shwinwakin, we're going to go get some deer. We need you out there in the front because you got that sensitive. You have to be that sensitive when communicating with the Lord. You know what I mean? They can't just be, Lord, what's up, man? What are we doing today? You know, ain't going to be like, this is what we're doing. You know, it's got to be like, what are we doing today? wait. And you wait calm, and it could take an hour. It could be the next day. But if you're sensitive, you'll know, because he'll communicate with just you when it's time to go and when it's time to move and when it's time to give.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Right. So give thanks for the little bit of that you have.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
The Lord will put food on my table. God is good. Yeah. The Lord will put food on my table. God is good. Yeah. God will put a food on my table. God is good. Yeah. All right, folks. That's my time. I hope you learned. Thank you. God bless.
Lord Jesus. You were singing my anthem. Oscar, can you get the chest, please? Lord, that was good. Amen. Amen. So good. So good. Amen. Did you get envelopes ready? Remember, when you spell out millions, it's two L's, okay? All right, what I want you to do is give, and give with your cheerful heart. Know that God has spoken to you. Be obedient to what he said. Out of your obedience comes much. Obedience comes much. You can deny it. You can get mad at God all you want. But you know when God is challenging you, when he says, give this, and you say, what? What? Give to God. Because when you give to God, God gives back to you. As the Bible says, pressed down, shaken together, that men shall give unto your bosom. Amen.
Amen.
You ready to give?
Yes.
Are you ready to give?
Yes.
Are you ready to give?
Yes.
Are you ready to break the devil's back?
Yes.
Are you ready to destroy what the enemy has over you?
Yes.
Huh? Are you ready to receive what God has for you? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you in advance. We thank you, Lord, through our obedience and giving unto you the tenth, Father God. It's already yours. But Lord, you bless us with the 90. And Father, anything above and beyond the 10th, Father, you have spoken it to be an offering unto you. So in our tithes and our offering, we give it as a form of worship unto you. But we give with a cheerful heart, a willing heart. And as we release what's in our hands, now, Father, release what's in yours. So, Father, I thank you in advance for an overflow blessing back into their lives. I thank you for such a joyous occasion, Lord, that we're here in the house of God celebrating the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. And he is the Christ, the Messiah. Father, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen.
Amen.
You may come and serve the Lord. You got something?